The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Amazing Stories from Skid Row, brought to you by Union Rescue Mission, where we don't just change moments in time, but we transform lives. Our host is Union Rescue Mission President and Chief Executive Officer, the Reverend Andy Bales. Andy's special guest is Isaac. Isaac is one of our Christian Life Discipleship Program soon-to-be graduates at the end of the month. And yes, and this is part two of Isaac's amazing story from Skid Row.
All right, Isaac, in and out of working hard and many jobs, are you still in the Dallas area or have we moved somewhere else?
No, sir. At this point, we're in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
That's right. We crossed over and went to
we
Florida.
We did.
And then you set up at least went out for coffee with
right.
some friends, and then you met.
Yeah.
You had too many cups of coffee. You were the worst pizza maker, but I like your kind of pizza making because you put extra pepperoni on it.
Right.
That's right.
But then you had too many cups of coffee, and you met the girl of your dreams. That's mm-hmm. where we left off. What happened
Absolutely.
Next?
Well, eventually I started chatting her up, asking her questions about herself and about myself. I mean, telling her about myself. And we found out we had a lot in common. We both loved animals and we both enjoyed going to the beach and things like that. So we set up to go out on our first day, and it was successful. For some strange reason, I was able to pull charm out of my back pocket and charm the lovely lady, because trust me, she was definitely out of my league at the time. But she accepted me for who I was, and we fell in love, and eventually I proposed to her, and she accepted. And we were together at a total of 12. We dated first, of course, so we were in each other's company 17 years in total.
Wow.
We were married for 12 of those years. We were married, and every moment of that was a happy moment. Even those moments where my addiction to alcohol manifested while we were together. I was helping some friends move, and they weren't the sharpest tool in the toolbox. So they eventually, there was an accident where I fractured my ankle really bad, and so the pain was so much that I didn't want to use painkillers because I realized I come from a long line of addicts. So I refused the painkillers, but eventually the pain got to be so much I started drinking to satiate that.
I was going to ask, where did the drinking come? Because you spent your life now not drinking, and I wanted to know the explanation. So
absolutely, and the thing was about me, even in my addiction, I was never less than honest with the people around me. She was aware of my drinking, and it really came to the boiling point when I started to separate myself from society. I stopped going out with our friends. I stopped doing things that we did that we enjoyed doing, and she became worried about me. Mm. And she said, "I want you to go seek help. It's hurting our marriage. It's making me feel like I'm losing you." And I loved her so much. I bet there was no doubt that I was going to take care of that. So I went to the a certain recovery group, and I went through their program. But the thing is, I wasn't serious about it, to be honest. I just wanted to save my marriage, and come, I stayed in the household. Like, we were never apart the entire time, except when I went to recovery. And so I completed that, got a job with that particular group, and eventually decided I wasn't happy with that group. Mm. And so from the point that I went into recovery and to the point that years later I hadn't used a drink or anything. And then unfortunately, somewhere along the lines, I lost my wife. She was hit by a drunk driver, and it tore me up.
Jesus.
Because unfortunately I made the error of making her the reason I was sober, and we can't do that in recovery.
Right.
It has to be because we want to be sober,
right?
And it also has to be more about a better relationship with God. And I made her my God.
Aww.
And she was a wonderful woman, and she didn't ask for that.
Yeah.
Just wanted to point that out. She never once said, hey, put me before God.
Yeah.
But it was my thing. I fell in love with her because I came from a long line, if you recall, of abuse and self-loathing and things like that. So
yeah.
When I met her, she was just the opposite of the life that I had come to know at that point.
Wow.
So at this point, we had already moved to New York City.
Mm.
It happened suddenly. We were having a date night, and keep in mind, I hadn't drunk up to this point. And I sent her to our favorite Chinese restaurant, a little bit more than a mile from our home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to stay there to, you know, get the other, make a salad or something. And she wanted me to go with her, and I said, no, I'll get things ready here, and you go.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't come back. And two days later, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I got that knock. That was the police telling me that that they found her car, and you know, she was gone. She was already dead. And the person that hit her, not only hit her, but he extracted him and himself in the car and drove off and left her to die.
No.
And so a lot of resentment, a lot of depression and resentment came from that.
Yes, yes.
And so, as I said before, my focal point for my resentment, my boogeyman, was God.
Yeah.
Because that was the person that up to this point I'd always believed was all powerful and nothing happened without God's say so and that sort of thing. And I'd already suffered the loss of my, if you recall, my grandpa
Your
and my
grandpa.
Sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who were the best parts of my life up to that point.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that stuff was built up, and the fact that I wasn't serious about my recovery the first time,
mm-hmm.
I fell back into drinking again. Like that same night, that same day that the police came and knocked on my door, I was at the liquor store the first time that they opened, and I bought as much liquor as they would sell me.
Wow!
And if you've never gone to a liquor store, they're not going to stop you from buying.
Mm.
They're going to make a profit and all that. So, I it was horrible. I started to. My whole mission was to work,
mm-hmm.
come home, get drunk. And I was always just barely sober enough to go back to work the next day.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, though, I didn't have anyone that I felt like could pull me out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, hey, are you okay? Because I began to isolate. And her family are great. They're awesome people. And they reached out to me, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're hurting and you're intoxicated, You don't want that. You want to feel the pain that you're trying to avoid feeling.
Wow.
And so they were awesome people, and I pushed them away. I was never unkind to them, but I was always like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
And so years later, my sponsor once told me, I'm good is not an answer. That's an excuse.
Okay.
Something you say when you don't want to sound on how you're hurting.
Right.
And So for years, I pushed everybody aside, and I never got to the point where I ever contemplated taking my own life, but I got so close to the point where I just wanted to leave natural society and just go out into the woods or something and just live life out there and in my own misery and all that.
Wow, wow, wow. So bless your heart.
How many years did you live like that, Isaac?
Well, And misery and drinking, I would say probably about 5 or 6 years. About 5 years, I would say.
Wow.
And keep in mind that I was already had those scars from the previous pains and losses.
Right.
That were on the back burner that never got dealt with. And so, just to remind you, my wife's name was Jennifer,
mm-hmm.
and I never processed her loss. Wow. I walked around with it heavy on my heart, and that, along with the God-sized hole in my heart,
yeah.
I didn't think I deserved anything because I blamed myself.
Hold on.
Along with God.
All right, we got to go to a break, so hold on to that thought, and when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about that. Bless your heart. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. For additional information about Union Rescue Mission's programs and services and how you can help, visit us online at urm.org. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at URM.
You're listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. Homelessness is devastating communities nationwide, but nowhere more than right here in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is now the homeless capital of America, but Union Rescue Mission is trying to change that. Did you know that many homeless families did not choose life on the streets? Many are victims of circumstances that spiraled out of control. But Union Rescue Mission's CEO, Pastor Andy Bales, says, whatever the reason is, really doesn't matter. Each one is in great need of God's love.
We are carrying out the words of Jesus Christ, and we're shining a bright light in a very dark place. I know our precious guests see our love as we receive so much back from them.
Become a hero for hope when you automatically give each month or a one-time gift of $250. You will also receive a special gift, Union Rescue Mission's book, Stories from Skid Row. The Union Rescue Mission, together with you, bringing hope, healing, and transformation to the streets of Los Angeles. Go to urm.org/KKLA.
Now, let's get back to more Amazing Stories from Skid Row with host, the Reverend Andy Bales.
All right, so Isaac, 5 or 6 years of existing and drinking.
Yeah.
What was your next step?
My next step was, at some point, I knew I had some, every now and then I'd have moments of being lucid and knowing that something had to change. And at some point, I ended up going into a different branch of that same program I had done before,
mm-hmm.
But in a different city. And I graduated that. And once again, it didn't really catch on because I still had a lot of stuff I didn't deal with. I was sober for a little bit, but I believe in the term a dry drunk.
Mm.
I was miserable without drinking. So that means that I still have the same feelings and the same scars that I hadn't been dealing with.
Right.
Chief of which was the God-sized hole and then the loss of someone that I considered a major part of my life.
Yeah.
And so I decided at some point when I started working again with being productive and life as far as work and taking care of myself, I decided at some point that I started noticing the triggers, which was isolating and stepping away from society. I was working and I wasn't using anything, but I wasn't living life amongst the living.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, well, what I need to do is get out of my comfort zone, get out of New York City and go seek recovery somewhere that both honored my wife,
mm-hmm.
somewhere we wanted to go, and the city we wanted to go to, and also a place that wasn't in my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to San Francisco first, graduated their program, mm-hmm. and was working again, and once again wasn't dealing with my issues,
okay.
my problems.
Yeah.
Which place in San Francisco did you go?
I'm sorry?
Can you tell me which place in San Francisco you
went
to?
Oh, absolutely. It's actually the same place I was going to the other place. I wasn't sure if you guys wanted me to say the name of the place, but
sure.
It was the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
No, please
yeah.
say it. Yeah, they're our friends, and we work together, yes.
Absolutely. So I wasn't dealing with it, and I knew that I needed some form of being serious about it this time because I knew it was a matter of life and death because I was getting older. When I first met my wife, I was still in my 20s, and by the time she passed away, we had just barely touched 40.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a long time to dedicate your life to someone. And so I came to San Francisco. It wasn't really serious about it. So I knew at some point that I had to beat the trigger take action, be proactive. Mm-hmm. So I went online and I started checking out places, and strangely enough, the Union Rescue Mission wasn't my first choice, but you guys were the first one to answer the phone, because I originally tried, I think.
Good to hear.
Yeah, we get that a lot when we talk to people.
I believe it was Midnight Mission I tried first, and nothing against them because I don't really know them, but they didn't answer. You guys answered and told me to be here at a certain time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, traffic being the way it is and public transportation being the way it is, I was probably about 2 hours late for the appointment, but they said still come in, and they were fine. And so they brought me in that day. But I still came in with so many scars, so much hurt that I wasn't willing to be vulnerable about. One of the things that they preach here, I mean, our preach values, as you know, Mr. Bells, is one of them is risk vulnerability. And I wasn't, at the time, I didn't want to expose any scars. I didn't want to let the air hit any of my scars.
Yeah.
And so I was afraid. So I was actually here like maybe 4 months before I started talking seriously about my wife and about the pain of losing her and a bunch of other scars that I had. And I'm here to tell you, once I started talking about that, and, you know, Chaplain Albert is a really great talker. I mean, I was able to talk to him about my pain, and he's a great listener as well. And it's funny, once I started talking to him about it, I decided to do a FaceTime at my wife's grave, because I never went back to her grave after the funeral.
Yes.
I was afraid to.
Yes.
And I did that with my family, my wife's family, and such a heavy weight.
Yeah.
It was lifted. They set the phone in front of her plot, and they stepped away to love privacy. Gave me about 15 minutes, and I told her how much I missed her, how much I loved her, and what I was trying to do here.
Yeah.
And it helped so much. And then God blessed me shortly thereafter. I began to repair my relationship with her family, which are my family now.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I also met a lovely young lady named Jessica, who I'm blessed to be able to hang around with, who loves the Lord and also very intelligent, quite similar to my wife, where she has a heart for people and she's brilliant. And so I'm still working on a lot of the scars and pains, but I'm so much further since I was able to talk about some of the things that was hurting me.
Yes.
Because sometimes we think we're happy, and then the moment stress comes on, you remember it. You recall a lot of that pain that was there, the trauma that came to you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, Mr. Bales, if you don't know this already, your staff is stellar. Your staff is awesome, because they first met me when I was a mess. I'm not saying I was a behavior problem, but I was definitely a problem where, you know, how it's hard to reach people that are hurting, that push you away.
Yeah, yeah.
And they stayed there, and they each talked to me and treated me with compassion, but also with that tough love where I had to get some structure in my life, and I had to talk about things that bothered me.
Right.
And
hold on
and
to
it helps so much.
Hold on to that thought. Thank you so much. Under Andy's leadership. There you go.
We'll
be right back with more right after these important messages.
Thank you for listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. You may have heard a story that touched you deeply or even broke your heart. The truth is, most of us will never know what it's like to be on the streets, sleeping on a sidewalk, wondering where the next meal is coming from, freezing in the winter and unbearably hot in the summer, without hope. The caring staff at Union Rescue Mission does. We know that as the compassion of Christ shines through us, lives are changed and hope is restored. That's why we are dedicated to the thousands of men, women, and children experiencing homelessness in downtown L.A. We'd like to invite you to help us complete the circle of acceptance, redemption, and transformation. As little as $22 a month feeds a family of four a hot, nutritious meal. And when you mention KKLA with your monthly or one-time donation of $250, you'll receive our very special gift, Union Rescue Mission's book, Stories from Skid Row. Thanks for listening. To give, go to urm.org/KKLA. That's urm.org/KKLA.
Now, let's get back to more Amazing Stories
from Skid Row.
All right. So
wow,
you're beginning to open up and making headway. That's so good to hear.
And thank you for the kind words for our team. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. And one of the things I've realized about your team is it goes beyond the walls of the mission, because one of the things that I was begin to get involved in is reaching out to other people, outreach. There's a gentleman here who's one of the other alumni, Casey, who one day walked past me in the hallway and said, "You're going to go with me to go hand out food." And I was like, "What?" And so he was a member of a group here called Servant Leaders.
Yes.
And so I went out with them. And you know what? I fell in love with that activity the minute we went out there.
Yes.
Because I love the community here and outside the doors. And I have a heart for people that are on the fringe, people that think they've been forgotten, that don't think they have a voice.
Yeah.
And so I also joined Servant Leaders. And so every week we meet up and we talk about things we can do to lighten the load here inside URM, and also what we can do outside the mission, like hand out food, take water on really hot days.
Yes.
And things like that. And I'm going to tell you, part of my growth and healing has been putting other people first. And that's something, I don't know if I said this last time, but one of the things I told when giving my testimony was, I didn't come here to be a servant. I came here to feel better and to get time to get a clear head.
Mm.
But I'm definitely developed a servant's heart, because now I feel not only obligated to reach out, but I feel like my week isn't complete if I haven't reached out to at least one person.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say, what is your plan after graduation?
Yeah, after graduation, what is your plans for the future?
I am so glad you asked that. I'm in the process now of getting funding for school, and everything's going well. It's just a matter of getting the proper documents and following protocol.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go to school to be a substance use disorder counselor.
Okay.
Where are you going to school?
It's going to be an online thing right now. It's like a hybrid online halfway, but it's going to be Tarzana.
Oh, awesome. Right. That's right.
That is great.
Well, congratulations. Yes, you're going to be good at that.
Yes.
Well, I certainly hope so, and I'm going to pray about it. Definitely part of my scheme is to involve God in everything that I do, especially when it comes to reaching out to people that I'm working with. And
Amen.
And currently, as you know, as I'm working with the Seeds now, Mr. Brown's coordinator.
Yeah, Father Brown, yes. We know Father Brown.
and so one of the things that's a blessing of being put over in that area is I can use a lot of this time as internship hours once I get toward the end of the in-class education.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. And so working with people that are coming off the street that are still hurting, I can still relate to it because I know what it feels like to have scars that the world can't see.
We're going to have to wait a little bit and then catch up to you after you've gone to school a
Yes,
bit.
Exactly,
so,
and get an update from you. Congratulations. God bless you. We're out of time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Union Rescue Mission, I'm Kitty Davis-Walker, the VP of Public Relations. Thank you for joining us. Tune in Monday through Friday at 9:30 p.m. and Saturday at 5:30 p.m. for more amazing stories from Skid Row. Don't forget to visit us online this week at urm.org. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at URM. May God bless you and keep you.
We pour out our miseries. God just sings a melody. Beautiful the mess we are. The honest cries of breaking heart are better than a hallelujah.
You've been listening to Amazing Stories from Skid Row. If your heart is breaking as you hear a story that hits a little too close for comfort, then donate to Union Rescue Mission and help CEO Pastor Andy Bales help the men, women, and children of Union Rescue Mission find their way back home.
I'm compelled to do this as I try to practice what I preached over 30 years ago from Matthew chapter 25. I preach that the way you treat another hurting human being is the way you are treating Jesus himself.
Since 1891, the Union Rescue Mission has embraced men, women, and children experiencing homelessness with the compassion of Christ. Many are victims of circumstances by no fault of their own. It's people like these and others that Union Rescue Mission is offering hope, healing, and a way out of their tragic situation. But we can't do it without your generous donation. So please, help the Union Rescue Mission provide food, clothing, shelter, and other life-changing services for those desperately in need. And visit urm.org/KKLA to donate now.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.